This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey guys, it's Tom here. Just wanted to let you know that we have a Patreon you can get on for $3 a month and you get bonus episodes every week. And if you sign up for the whole year, you get a 10% discount. That's $2.70 a month, I believe. And we also have a tier where you can be a guest on the Patreon show. You could pick a band yourself to defend and do it on the Patreon. So get on over there. It's patreon.com/standbyyourband. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Tikar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing well, but I'm going to start out hot today because I got a bone to pick with our guest. Our guest is Graham K. Say hello to the people, Graham.
Hey, what's up? What the hell is coming at me here?
Graham, great comedian, great friend, but had a viral tweet recently that got about 380,000 likes, 35,000 retweets. Here was the tweet. It said, if you're over 35, hire movers. Your friends are too old. Nobody wants to slip a disc for pizza and two Bud Lights. Very funny tweet. Very happy it went viral.
Let's give him his flowers. What a great tweet.
So good. I tried it as a joke, and an audience member was like, that's a meme. You're doing memes. So I was like, this premise is ruined. Yeah.
You got to. So funny.
Okay. But yes, the tweet goes viral. And tell them what happened with the great people at Bud Light, Graham.
Well, it got picked up by these aggregators on Instagram. And so I started, and Bud Light started commenting on it like, hey, we're good beer. And I'm being like, yeah, you know, two's not enough. I need at least 40. Send me beer and we'll see about it. And then they started interacting with me. And then I was like, can you send me to Busch Gardens? Because I had just found out like a week earlier that Busch Gardens is actually Anheuser-Busch, the beer company, mm-hmm. Gardens. Mm-hmm. And I was like, send me to Busch Gardens. And they ended up sending me 48 beers. And they couldn't send me a gift card to Busch Gardens and like a tickets and a plane to Busch Gardens because of the pandemic, it would look bad. So they just sent me a Visa gift card for $200.
Wow. Look at that.
And a bunch of like merch, Bud Light merch.
This is truly the most anyone has ever gotten off of a viral tweet.
Absolutely. My girlfriend has like 40,000+ Twitter followers and routinely, you know, goes viral.
A lot. Julia, like, can we say her name?
Julia Claire at Julia Tweets. Goes viral, like, I'm going to say once a month, like big time, and hasn't got shit. But that's why men rule and women rule.
Dude rock. You got to get what you're worth. You got to ask Bud Light.
That's right.
Here's where the bone to pick comes in. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been giving you your flowers. We've been letting you have a nice time talking about going viral. But here's where the rub is. Now, about a week after this famous big time tweet about how you hire movers.
Big time.
I get a phone call. The first time Graham K has ever called me in his entire life. Didn't even know he had my number. And he asks me to help him move a table up the stairs in a new apartment. And here's the kicker. Well, I'm helping him move this table, which I didn't mind doing. I'm a great friend, good guy. But I'm helping him move this table up the stairs, and I realize he's wearing the Bud Light hat he got from tweeting about how he doesn't ask friends to move.
Well, and certainly he must have paid you to do this, correct, Tommy?
Oh, no. He didn't even give me one of his free Bud Lights that I'd heard so much about.
Good point. Yeah, man.
And let's talk.
It's so funny how I did not put any of this together when it was happening. Did not occur to me till now how ridiculous that whole thing is. But how do you hire someone to lift one thing?
of course. Yeah, I it was just the irony was too much.
I
have had to do
this. I know.
What the hell is that? Like Fiverr or whatever, like shit, where it's like you just hire somebody for something fast. I can't remember what.
I think it might be like TaskRabbit is what you're trying to.
That's it. That's what I'm looking for. TaskRabbit, and you know it's a little pricey. It also is funny because before that, this is post viral tweet. You did hire movers, and then you had a big problem with the movers, and you were like, "God, movers are so expensive."
they fucking got me. When I moved last time, I didn't have as much stuff.
Right.
And then I bought stuff, and then I moved, and I hired a different moving company because I hired like a bunch of comics work for, and so they could give me a discount because we know they weren't. I didn't want to like they were. I didn't hire my friends who worked for them, but like it was like the same company or whatever.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Yeah, you should go with us. We'll give you a discount." I was like, "Great." And then the guy ended up being so pissed at me. I talked to the comedians after, like, "Oh, you got the only rude guy in the company." And Wilfred Padua he goes, "Oh, that guy is the meanest guy in New York City." And the guy hated me so much, he took away my discount.
Damn.
Wow.
And I don't know what I did. All I did was show him where the stuff was. He didn't hear that I said there's stuff in both closets. And when I came to do a double check, when they were all done, there was like a closet full of boxes. And then I had to call them, and they were already like driving to my new place in the truck, and they had to come back. And the guy was like livid, took away my discount, and it cost me so much more. It was like, guys, ask your friends to move. I can't stress this enough.
Yeah. Got your podcast now. We're going to track down people's tweets and hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And I do want to point out that you suffered from something that I think, so you last time you moved, you had less stuff, and you suffering from the conundrum that I believe Shakespeare coined: mo money, mo problems.
Mo debt, mo problems. So it's pretty sweet. Yeah. Put that couch on credit. Got a lot of problems. But yeah.
So I want to talk to you about, you just returned from beautiful Miami.
Ooh. Welcome to Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so Miami.
Oh, man. This is a music podcast. That was good. That was really good, Tom.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sometimes we sing on the podcast. Why do all these musicians get to do it, not us?
They get to do comedy.
That's a good point.
True. So tell us about Miami Grammy.
Miami Grammy.
Well, South Beach sucks. Cuban food is under seasoned. And
dear Lord.
The weather is beautiful. The beach is lovely. Service is very good at restaurants and slow, very, very pleasant and slow. Mm-hmm. And every Lyft or Uber driver is mean, and they don't come. They can't come. I kept working.
That's why they're so mean.
Like, yeah, give me that discount, baby. If you order an Uber or a Lyft in Miami, they just drive around and try and get you to cancel, It's not something that happened once. It's something that happened 8 times.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that happened to me in LA a bit, where it's like, or I've definitely dealt with that where, and in Chicago too, where I think it, like once they see, sometimes they'll call you and be like, "Where are you going?" And they're not supposed to do that because it's like, then they can determine if they want to just do exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a New York cab in like the 90s.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
When I first moved to New York in 2006, I had an interview to be an intern at Vice magazine, but before the internet. Uh-huh. And I was like a big fan of the magazine. I was like, "Oh man, it's going to be so rad." And I was staying with like a friend on their couch in the city. And I was like running like just on time. And I ran outside and flagged down a cab. And I was like, "Take me to North 10th Street in Brooklyn." And they were like, no.
Yep.
Like, I was like, what? And I like was 2 hours late for my interview. I just,
that is, I gotta tell you, that's also, that does not surprise me knowing, you, Graham.
I know, I'm a huge issue.
Graham is the latest man I've ever met. And to the point, we'll stop giving you shit after this, maybe, but, the funniest thing that happens is like we'll play basketball when you lived by me right outside my apartment, and you lived I want to say a good 7 minute walk from my place, and we would have set a time to play, and you would wake up in a frenzy and go, ah, that's the energy your text had. You go, I'm going to be an hour late. You live a 7 minute walk away. I'm still in bed. Yeah.
I got a lot of stuff going on. You know, I got a lot of career stuff going on that I got to handle, personal stuff, a lot of personal stuff. When you're a man living alone in a studio,
A lot of burdens.
In a pandemic with no career, you got a lot to juggle.
And you are a juggler. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm not a. Yeah, and I'm a bad juggler.
Yes, a lot of times people don't realize that sometimes the lightest load is actually the heaviest.
Whoa.
I don't even want to take the mental energy to figure out what that means.
Look, let's talk about this band that you have brought to us today, the Misfits.
Yeah.
So you chose to defend the Misfits because you feel that they don't get the credit that they deserve.
I got a lot of pushback from you guys.
Yes, you did. Yes,
I got a lot of pushback, and
upon researching them a little bit, I think it was unfair a little bit that we pushed back so hard on you. I do want to also bring to everyone's attention that you also did pitch Elton John, which is
Elvis Presley.
You pitched Elvis and Elton John, which
people make fun of Elton John, and they make fun of Elvis constantly.
The most beloved musicians of all time.
Not in Canada.
Well, once you
that's where I'm from.
Once we start Stand By Your Band Canada,
number one. I'll be like, what? That's crazy. They found a guy to defend Elton John. He's gay. Oh my God. It's the 90s here.
Yeah.
We're behind. No, I'm kidding. We're way ahead. We passed legalized gay marriage in like 2003 or something. We're quite proud of it. I'm proud of it.
But you made anyone who liked Elton John have one of those marriages?
Yes. Yes.
You forced it. Yeah. Sorry, you admitted it.
Yeah. We're like the South with like trans high school athletes. We just check their, instead of checking their genitals, we just make them listen to that, and we understand if they're gay or straight. I'm like, you go there.
You can edit that out.
You can feel free to edit that out.
Look, you know that when I say I'm going to edit something out, I do not remember, because I did say that you had COVID on the show and I forgot to edit that out. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you didn't. And which was a relief for all of us. You texted me that you heard that, and I was like, oh, I totally forgot I even said that.
Yeah. I know, whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, well, you know, having COVID ain't so, I mean, it's not like a scarlet, letter on your chest or whatever.
When you said that, like, I was, like, on my way to visit my elderly parents, so.
And it's because you did have COVID that you chose to travel at that time.
Yes, I have a lot of emotional scars I want to get back at them for.
Nonetheless. The Misfits. So let's get into your background with them a little bit. So what inspired you to want to talk about the Misfits today?
Okay, so they are a just basically a t-shirt at this point. Everyone looks at the t-shirt, they buy the t-shirt, or they see people wearing the t-shirt, and they either don't know it's a band, or they think it's just or they think it's like screamcore music or something like that. I've shown people the band, younger people or whatever, people who don't know the band, my age, and they're like, oh, I thought this sounds way different than I thought it would.
I felt like that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had never heard them before. Or I'd never listened to them before. So I was like, I was a little surprised by the sound.
Yeah. And so that, even like the fact that you haven't listened to them before is a reason to do this, to bring them up on this podcast.
Sure.
I feel I feel like they're like a huge band that influenced so many bands that we all listen to that are huge, that, but no one, like, they made no money. They disbanded in 1983, didn't make, like, as a band, the band members didn't make any money other than Glenn Danzig until the late 90s. Like, Jerry only was working in a machine shop. Before, mm-hmm. Like he was like, yeah, it wasn't so bad. We made a lot of money selling to the government during he was like working in like New Jersey in a metal shop, and they were mm-hmm. shipping stuff to the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. He's like, that was a good time. It's like, oh man. And like, so, and Glenn Danzig, who does have a little bit of fame, sort of mainstream fame, and everyone, like, people like punk rock and stuff, like, I grew up like punk rock, everyone knows who Glenn Danzig is, but he got famous for his band Samhain or Danzig. Mm-hmm. And I don't like those bands,
right?
You know, and I think that the only reason why he got a foothold in the first place for those bands to get any sort of traction is because of Misfits. And yeah. Misfits today are way bigger in like mm-hmm. In terms of what's considered influence and also just popularity now.
I mean, they did the Garden, like they have a lot of fucking people coming out to their shows now. And I was reading about what happened, because Tommy and I both watched this YouTube video that I'm going to say kind of sucked, but it also was informative. But
the YouTube videos I searched I was looking last night too, they're all embarrassing. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't have brought this band up.
It's like, well, this one, I'm going to play some clips from, because so what happened is this guy in Brazil made a mini documentary about Misfits, and he did it using technology that translated into English, and it like robotically narrates it.
Yeah.
And it is so funny.
Yep.
It is very fun. So I don't know if you watched that too, but
I watched the same one last night.
Yeah, just to just for the listeners to get a taste of what this actually sounds like. Let me just make sure that let me get my speaker going here really quick. And this is the kind of stuff that I like to do.
Oh, we can't hear.
The year was 1975. A young boy of just 20 years old, resident of New Jersey, decides to start his first band. This kind of thing was common for the time. Even more common cover bands.
So that, I wanted to play that intro just so you get a sense of what it is.
Yeah.
He's a young boy in New Jersey, started a band. This kind of thing was common at the time. Now in the 70s, boys were starting bands. It was happening all over.
Yeah, if you are, like, there is a real opportunity to make a half decent YouTube documentary for the Misfits.
Yes.
A lot of clicks.
The window is open. Yes.
The window is wide open.
But yeah, the other part I wanted to play, there's like another minute long clip, and partially because it has an interesting story about Danzig firing one of the drummers of the band.
Oh yes.
And so the story is interesting, and also the translation and robotics are very funny too. So I'm going to play that. I'll start. All right.
Turned into a Martian in skulls. At that time, the band was already extremely active on the local scene. They performed shows weekly in small concert halls, but had not yet conquered an international space, which contributed to the initial failure of the album to be a commercial failure. Low caches, publicity shows, and lack of recognition were constant situations. Due to these factors, it was not possible to remunerate all members of the band, which was the case, for example, with drummer Arthur Googie. He was certainly one of the most active members in the band. He was always participating in the compositions and spent hours a day working for the band in the suburb of Queens, a place located hours away from his residence. However, all this momentum and dedication for the band ended up having an unexpected end. On a fateful day, everyone went out to eat at McDonald's, as usual. Arthur insisted that he would be hungry and wanted another snack, and Dancing refused, claiming to have the money counted. The drummer continued to insist, which made Glenn angry with him and assault him, and later expelled him from the band.
Look, I'm having trouble defending this band.
That is a great story. And I remember one time, Tommy and I, when we were doing the Stand By Your Band tour, the Battle of the Bands, I told him, we went to McDonald's, and I he told me I was only allowed to have a Happy Meal. And I said, I need at least 10 nuggets. And he said, you want your 10 nuggets? And he shoved six of them up my ass. And
then whoa.
Happy Meal style.
Tommy.
Never came up again. I respected him more for that.
Honestly. I do like that they got the robot from Fitter Happier by Radiohead some more work. I think it's really cool that he's still busy.
That is a great reference.
We got to hear more of this. This is so pleasant. That is so funny.
Maybe I should have defended Radiohead.
Yeah, that you might as well have pitched that. You joke, but it's truly maybe needs more defense than Elton John.
I thought people made fun of Elton John.
Oh, dear Lord. That story is great. I thought you were going to, I thought that was going to be the story about the guy who, I loved this story about the guy who was hired to play drums and was really nervous and got, he got too drunk.
He was
like, I'm going to drink to make myself feel less nervous. And then he got so drunk that he couldn't really play. And then Doyle threw him off stage. And then and then they're like, and he never played for the band again. And then it's like, well, good story.
Band success without drummer had drunk man.
this band, they like influenced Metallica and Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, that was the big thing too. I kind of liked that story where it's I think it was a bassist for Metallica that was wearing their t-shirts all the time and got Metallica into them, and then that got everybody talking about them again. And so I think it was
they started playing
one of the other guys like fully thanked them for the reason that they're a band again, and like
the Metallica did two covers on an album in the late 80s, and then Guns N' Roses did a cover on the Spaghetti Incident, and those made them popular again. And then they reissued, they didn't reissue. Static Age is an album that they just never released.
Right,
and they released it. They made it in 1978 and released it in 1997.
Crazy.
And there's like amazing songs on that. That's like one of my favorite albums of all time. And it's just because Danzig would bring it. He was ahead of his time. He would bring the music to like, you know, record labels, and was like, and they were like, this is just noise. What the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's like it's taking Phil Spector wall of sound and just pushing it even more. It's just a wall, but it's just sped up 1950s rock and roll is all it is. The way he sings and everything he's just early Elvis. Like even the way they dress and everything is just early Elvis, but he has like a love of like B horror films, and he just pushed that through there. It's like, but the music is like, you know, you snap your fingers to it. It's not just like double, double, double. It's not like that at all.
No.
It is fun to picture you at a punk concert and everyone's moshing and you're in the back snapping your fingers like, all right, boys, keep rocking.
Man, they beat the piss out of me.
Were you in a punk band or anything, or were you just into punk?
I was just into it. I didn't have the courage to start. It was like that and skateboarding were things I would just look at and be like, cool. I'm gonna watch.
Skateboarding. I wanted to, like, I went through a phase where I was like, I'm gonna be a fucking badass, and then I fell one time like a little too hard, and I was like, well, never again.
Oh man. Yeah, I, again. you have to, like, my feet are too big and I'm too tall. Mm-hmm. And maybe you have like size 13 feet. I'm top heavy.
I have a terrible balance, and apparently that's pretty important for being on a skateboard.
Well, who's to say?
Scientists have not.
No. But I just was like always looking. I would like listen to stuff. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, I was like into pop punk a bit because guys I hung out with like love NoFX, and I definitely loved NoFX. I have like a few of their songs and some, you know, that kind of genre of music, whatever. I like Bad Religion, and then I had a friend, like one of the only true real guys going for it, like a real punk. He had like a 6-spike mohawk, and he would put like Jello and spike him up and stuff, and he loved like horror movies and stuff. He's like, you gotta listen to Misfits. And I was like, this is it, because I love early Elvis, I love all that early stuff so much, and I just needed an updated version. I need like a version made for angry teens.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is, and I liked the way they looked. I liked that they weren't wimpy. I just thought the whole thing, and I liked horror movies. It just, and I liked that it was silly. It was like a bit of whimsy. It's one of the reasons why I don't like later Danzig, like Danzig's, like, or Samhain, or is like, it's because it's all like actually trying to be in the occult. And like, it's like, no, we're talking about Martians. Like, it's supposed to be a little silly. You know what I mean? Like,
it should be cartoonish. And like, that's what happened after he was out of the band. They were like, yeah, it was a cartoon we were doing. And he was like, I'm into the devil. All right.
Yeah. It's like, no. And the problem with the band after him is like, so they basically had like they weren't together for 20 years, and then they were like, oh, we're popular again, let's try. And Jerry Lynn was like, I don't want to work in a machine shop, let's try and make some money. And they had like a big legal battle, and they gave Jerry only the logo and the name, and then Glenn got all the music, and he's like, and so they had to make their own new music and whatever, and it just, that music sucks. It's Glenn Danzig is a genius, like, and then they don't have that anymore. It's like, well, we're just going to have the Doors without, you know, what's his name?
Yeah. Jim Morrison. Yeah, Jim
Morrison. Like, I was like, Morrissey? I was like, that's not it.
Doors without, you know, some guy.
Yeah.
All right. I think that we should listen to a song now that I think you've hyped us up for it. So what would you like to listen to first here, Graham? What would you like people to hear?
I like She or We Are 138.
Okay. I've got She at the ready, so let's go ahead and hear that. I'll play it right here.
Yeah.
Gee.
And he's got like the best voice in my favorite rock and roll voice ever. He can do anything. He's like classically trained, but he can like make it a little rougher. And like, people weren't doing that. Like, he has such good range, and then he can make his voice crack a bit. And that influenced hardcore so much. The hardcore didn't exist when he was doing that.
Right. That is so weird to hear that song and then see it's 1978. Like, that is wild. That written by Glenn Danzig, who was the original singer for Misfits. This song is about the controversy of the Patty Hearst case. Hearst is an heiress who was kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army, but then joined the cause of her captors. What a wild story.
I didn't know that. I had no idea that was. I knew Patty Hearst. I didn't know she was about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, she was about that life. Yeah, Tommy, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I just think that every song's kind of about the Patty Hearst story, if you really think about it. Like, if you boil it down.
So yeah, you're right.
The way she moves, that's
yes.
Yes, yes. I wanted to hear a song before we got to before we get to our regular segment, which I'm very curious about, because he seemed excited by this one. Every week we go to our friend and foe of the show, Jared Thompson, the resident snob, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where the Limestone Fest is rescheduled. So check that out. I think it's limestonefest.com for details. That might be September. I should check on that. But yeah, Comedy Attic, they're doing shows too. So check those out, and you can stream them, all kinds of good stuff. But here is here's Jared's thoughts on Misfits.
They went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on discussing the Misfits. I assume that this is a discussion and not a defense. I think that they're pretty well, highly regarded and respected. And, you know, I look at it like this, like, I'm not going to listen to the Misfits. It's just not something that I'm going to listen to. Of course, when I was in my formative years in punk, they were a band that people that I knew liked, and I would try to listen to it, and it just wasn't for me. And I think that they are a type of band that you could sort of like later in life. Like, I think the songs are good enough that it wouldn't be sort of embarrassing to listen to, even if you didn't listen to them now, you know, when you were a kid. But my issue with them has always been that the recording quality is terrible, and nobody's really gone and remastered them. And I don't know if it's because they don't have the tapes, you know, they don't have the masters or what, but it's just audibly not great. And, you know, Danzig 1 is, to me, like, fairly close to a masterpiece. So, like, I know that if the Misfits were able to record the right way, that I think I probably would be more open to listening to them. It's really sort of an interesting thing that they're, in a lot of ways, like, as known for, like, sort of the logo and, like, a lot of people have, you know, have the tattoo, and you see this stuff used and sort of copied a lot, which is crazy. But certainly their place in the history of rock music, especially punk, is, like, they're just one of the giants. So anyway, look forward to listening. Thanks, guys.
All right. That was Jared Thompson on Misfits. What do you think, Graham?
I mean, I think he's right. It's not a band that I revisit a lot as an adult, but like in that age, I still think it's really good. I really do. I just listen to it for 4 years straight every day.
Right.
Yeah. And I kind of disagree. About the sound quality a bit. It's kind of the point. It's like grungy, garagey. It's supposed to sound tinny and not finished. And like, to me, that's sort of the point of punk. I'm sure he'd disagree and could come up with a bunch of valid reasons why I'm an idiot. But I still like revisiting the songs for this. It still gets me charged up. I still think that voice is so good. It's so damn good, and it's going for it. And it's like simple and fast, and it's got harmonies. I just like fast 1950s rock and roll, and I'm looking for that all the time. I still am.
Let's hear another song here for an example. So you want to hear We Are 138 next?
Maybe we should do Hybrid Moments.
Okay, let's hear Hybrid Moments. I'm going to skip forward a little bit here.
Give me a moment.
fun.
I like that one a lot. And that's a perfect example of what you're talking about, where it's like that fully sounds this. I was reading this thing. It's a DJ D Mac, which I think is Tommy's side project.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Clocking in at a minute and 41 seconds, the song had me pressing rewind multiple times on the old cassette deck. Its melody would be right at home in a 1950s pop tune. Its disturbing lyrics and brutal sounding band, not so much. Enjoy.
Tommy. Tommy's classic sign off.
That is, I mean, that is very cool. I like that sound a lot.
I like the drums. The drums are just sort of driving. Mm-hmm. Like it's, mm-hmm. And I was gonna say, and I do like, yes, this is not a defense. This is more of like a revisiting or whatever. Yeah. But I do want to say it is a bit of a defense because people don't know. Not enough people know. And like, yeah.
It's interesting because the fact that they would have kind of just gone in, there's a very easy world to imagine where they end up nobodies. If it weren't for this Metallica finding them or who else, what was the other band that we were talking about?
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, yep. If that doesn't happen, they're fucked because for example, that 78, the album you were just saying that didn't get put out and then it didn't get
until
96. It's like they traded rights to their previous either label or art or album for studio time to make those tracks, thinking they would get obviously a deal, and then nobody fucking wanted it. And so there's a world where it just went on with them being nothing unless they have like a weird, unless somebody who happened to be in them, somebody who was one of the small group of people who were really into them became famous and gave a spotlight to them.
Yeah. I wonder how many bands like that. Cause like, you have to be like a music nerd. Like it was all the people, they were popular in their scene back then. And like they did influence hardcore and punk and stuff like that, and they created a subgenre that still exists today. But they're one of the ones that got lucky and didn't disappear. I mean, Glenn Danzig did make it on his own though.
He also does seem like he is a psycho. And it's funny, like people, I think we'll get to it later in the comments, but I was just reading like Danzig controversy and it's like some of his takes are not so great.
They're all bad. I think he's a very good musician
for sure,
and he has a great voice, and he was very smart in terms of understanding that you can help, like he's under, like just the full concept of promotion and art, including the music on top of that, like they're choosing the skull and choosing the font and everything like that. That was all him too. He chose all that.
Oh wow!
Which is
the Crimson Ghost, they call it.
Yeah, whatever. It's named after a 1940s serial, I just saw a clip of it. It was just like some 1940s live action cop show before there was TV, like a cop show, and they like chase around this ghost with that face.
Speaking of the Danzig being an asshole stuff, there's good stuff about that with the song we just heard, 3 or 138. So like a lot of people think there's a science fiction movie. It's the movie George Lucas made before Star Wars.
Yeah.
Was THX 1138, and it was like a sci-fi movie that kind of everyone thinks is what inspired the song. But Danzig like refuses to let that be the thing. And he instructed Bobby Steele. He said, if an audience member asks you what it means, we should just laugh. And in a mocking tone, say, what? You don't know? And sound real snobby. Make them feel like every idiot, but you know what it means. So then he was asked in an interview about like, so is it just a reference to the sci-fi movie, and Danzig stated that the other Misfits didn't write it. They don't know what the fuck it's about. It's about violence.
Yep.
So that's
that's the answer you're gonna get. It's about
that's
violence.
What we'll get.
Yeah. I feel like I just have to go back because there was some fruit hanging, and I gotta pick it up. You said the phrase 1940s cereal, and I just want to point out that the only 1940s cereal I care about is World War II O's.
You're right. I did leave some pretty big fruit back there.
We left that on the table.
Yeah, I'm a dumbass. They're good. They're good.
All right, let's hear
it. It's just all sorts of the marshmallows, all sorts of different shapes.
Yeah, there was a shrapnel prize.
Yeah.
And if you think that you get this riff, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Exactly.
This riff,
it's about violence.
It truly is about the war. No. Yeah, you could see how like a character like Glenn Danzig would make a 16-year-old boy think like, yeah, that's cool.
Yes.
Violence. Yes. I like this.
Get it? Not.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear that. Let's hear We Are 138.
We just heard that one.
No, we didn't.
What? No, we heard
we didn't.
Cyber Moments.
Oh, I messed up.
I love the good. Yeah, he spent a lot of time on the lyrics, which is important. But I love the like guitar solo because it's like a fuck you to all the like 10-minute guitar solos in that era. You know, it's like that jam band bullshit, and it's just like we're the here's a guitar solo, done. It's like the song's like a minute and a half, which I like. Ramones were like doing it, but they're like this is like one of the first bands to ever do like a minute and a half song. Get in, get out, fuck you, this is it. It's not about anything, it's about the energy. You know, and just that little fuck you to guitar solos I think is hilarious.
What, you know what annoys me? The song is 1 minute and 40 seconds. Cut off 2 seconds. Just make it a minute. Come on.
That's hilarious.
You're so close.
He's
getting from two to cut.
I can't. That's how dumb I am. I've listened to this song 1 million times. Never put that together.
So close. Maybe they were aiming for 138 and they just fucked it up. They couldn't.
The production was bad. They were trying. Just press stop.
38.
Yeah.
38. This song is 1 minute and 38 seconds long. 2 minutes long. All right. What would you like to hear next year, Graham?
I would like to hear I'd like to hear Come Back. Because this one's a little different.
I'm going to skip forward a little bit here.
You gotta call fire.
I like that one. I played that for my basketball team in the bus, and everyone told me to turn it off.
that is not quite although it is like comeback, like maybe you were down and we're gonna come back tonight. It's like you're on the way to a game, you're like, all right, we're definitely gonna be down to start.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah, but our best player is injured. I'm starting. We're gonna need to come back.
I have to point out that on songmeanings.com, backup dork commented, "I like to pretend he's saying come bath." So cool. There's one way to do it.
Man, Mets fans are cool.
Right? Okay, cool. So there's some conflict in the comments here. Regular Johnny says this song is about a raven that Glenn found on the side of the road. He took care of it and helped heal it. When the raven was healed, it flew away.
Oh,
and,
man.
Beck Bitch says the song is about a guy cheating. The girl and him break up, and he thinks she knows what happened, and he wants her back. Pretty simple. Not according to regular Johnny, but that's for you two to figure out.
If it's between a regular guy and a bitch, I know who I'm choosing.
I don't know. It could be about that raven that is not mentioned once. That might be it.
Somebody else said I would. This is RJM17W, and they say I would say the song is an ode to Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven. If anyone knows Danzig's history, one of his favorite authors, bar none, was and it still is Edgar Allan Poe. With Comeback, it's safe to say that Danzig wanted the story to continue. He then put his own little twist on the continuation of the poem. The song has always been one of my favorites, especially the Static Age version. Poetry, romance, horror, death, a timeless masterpiece.
It is funny the way Danzig, in an interview I was listening to, talks about like other people were into stupid stuff. I was into Edgar Allan Poe. It's like we all read Edgar Allan Poe. Part of the curriculum.
Dude, I don't think it's the same thing. And it's so lame. Like everybody else read. Yeah, it's exactly what he said. He's like, everybody else was reading dumb shit, and I was reading Edgar Allan Poe. It's like, you got to go deeper than that if you're going to be an asshole about it.
He really is. He's just like a guy from New Jersey.
Yes,
some cocky Italian man from New Jersey. That's, you know.
And I have to point out that Graham did mention that they never say the word raven in the song. The first line of the song is "Come back, little raven, and bite my face."
Oh yeah, maybe.
No, one, impossible to confirm, but it might be.
No, about it taking care of a raven. They never mentioned that.
Hell, you're not gonna give him this one. You're gonna
one of the reasons why I don't like
Tom is
why
that
often points out my glaring mistakes as friends should. But here's the thing is I think one of the reasons why I like sort of why I like punk rock and where I definitely gravitated to it when I was a teenager anyway, was that I can't hear lyrics. I have no idea what anyone's saying at any time. Whoa. I don't know that I like the energy. I like the emotion. I understand like choruses. Mm-hmm. I'm a big chorus guy, but anything else, I really can't. I don't know if that's like or what that is, but if anyone out there also can't hear the lyrics, message me. But I doubt that you, if you're listening to a music podcast, you probably.
No, actually, you'd be surprised. A lot of people don't give a shit about lyrics. However,
it's not that I don't give a shit. I can't understand what they're saying. I can't hear them. I can't remember them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right, we got two songs left to cruise through here. So, which would you like to hear first out of these last two? We've got Bullet and Teenagers from Mars.
Well, we'll go with Bullet and then we'll end with a fun one.
Okay, let's do that. Here's Bullet.
President Fuller in the body in the street. Right down there.
And that song is, of course, about an eagle that Johnny only found, you know, by the road and nursed back to life. And it and then it went on to murder him.
You know, 70s, man, the 70s had such cool music names. Nowadays, you'd probably be Johnny Only Fans. Truly.
Mean, he'd be, but he'd be, wouldn't be working at a machine shop. He'd be a millionaire.
Oh, that's true. Oh, it's a machine shop. This guy, he's seen his own.
Dear God, what is he doing on to himself? Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, that, I don't know. Like, that song is, it's okay. There are definitely better Misfits songs. I didn't choose the six best Misfits songs. But that song is an example of how subversive they were back then. Like, mm-hmm. they're talking about President Kennedy getting shot in the head.
Yeah.
And Texas is the reason why the president is dead. And like a bunch of sexual stuff about Jackie Kennedy and like him and her like fucking the president and all this stuff. And it's like, you just didn't hear that kind of stuff. And it, there was like a bit of a wall, like a cultural wall that they were pushing that they were like right at the edge of, like, you just didn't hear this kind of shit mm-hmm. before. And like there had like, there was like a, I think for the, this was a single they released, or they released like two tracks on whatever they were called. And like, and the cover art is John, like a cartoon of John Candy getting his head shot off.
Damn.
And it's like that's like nuts back then.
I'm going to call it downright provocative.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
That's what I'll say.
Whoa. I mean,
sorry, buddy.
All right. I mean, if you want to go there, dude, if you want to go there,
let's go ahead and hear this last song, and then we'll get to the comments from the listeners. So let's hear Teenagers from Mars. Teenagers from Mars.
That's just good, clean fun.
That's, you know, a good, clean fun song. A scary idea, but
yeah,
fun nonetheless. That definitely sounds very 50s-ish. I enjoyed that. That had a very, I want to listen to that on a beach.
People will ask you to turn it off. I've tried. It's not relaxing enough.
Song though. Yeah, that is just some fun music. Nobody's mad about that.
I'm curious to hear what people say. I mean,
yeah, that's, I'm excited because we had a ton of comments. So should we just get to it? Okay. It'll be Very interesting to see what people are getting into on this one, because there was so many comments. I was surprised that we got so many. So let's just jump straight to them, because we've heard the songs now. We've heard what Jared has to say. Now let's hear from the Peanut Gallery, the people who listen to the show. And first off, as always, we're going to go to the Patreon. Let's see what the people of Patreon have to say. Let me find the little emails here. And by the way, we just got some new Patreon subscribers. Thanks for joining it. We do appreciate you. And we love you. You mean the world to us that you pay your measly sum to bonus episodes every week. And also, there's a tier where you can be a guest. There's all kinds of fun shit you can do on that Patreon. So get over there if you haven't already done it. But for now, what's important is, if you're on the Patreon, you guaranteed get your comment read, as long as it's not something that's supposed to be offensive to the guest. All right. Weston says they're up there with Rob Zombie in the guys who just really like horror movies and also rock Hall of Fame. Danzig is a bit of a clown, but I can't help but love guys who just make songs about bad horror movies and bones. Fair enough. Timothy Hooper says, once dated a girl who was really into the Misfits and Twisted Tea. Bit of a train wreck. Shit still slaps, though. Can't throw on Where Eagles Dare or Skulls without wrecking my apartment and scaring my kids. Now, when you say into the Misfits and Twisted Tea, are you talking about the drink Twisted Tea? Or is that a band?
I think I've never heard of Twisted Tea, the band.
I think it has to be the drink.
Yeah. It's not in caps, so it sounds like she gets all fucked up on Twisted Tea and then wrecks his place.
Yeah, so that is my OnlyFans name is Twisted Tea. So if you check that might be what she was into.
Twisted Teats?
Yep. John Bill and CD says, Where Eagles Dare and Last Caress are insanely fun songs to sing. Mm-hmm. Except despite the ridiculousness of the song, I Raped Your Mother Today is a line to skip when you're no longer a punk kid.
Yeah, that's why one of the reasons why I didn't choose that. It sounds so good. And even back then, I was like, I don't know about that. I mean, it's supposed to be like a spoof and like the thinking of what a killer would think or whatever. But it's a little much.
It's a bit much. Yeah. He says, Danzig has a fantastic voice. Static Age is a wonderful album. Also, check out, check the appearance of, is it Michael Graves or Michelle Graves? I'm confused here, but it looks like Michael Graves from a later iteration of the Misfits talking about conservative punk. This is on The Daily Show. So look up, it looks like if you look up The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and The Clash, you'll find this interview he's talking about. Ryan Polson says the picture of Danzig carrying the kitty litter is an all-time great. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to look that up.
It's just a picture of him in like a grocery store parking lot. Just like he's like, I'm the devil. And then he's in the grocery store just getting kitty litter. Like,
that is the funny.
He's like kind of balding and kind of he's like.
That is really funny.
It's great.
Lita Class writes, I really like the Bouncing Souls cover of Hybrid Moments, and I think Green Day does it too. Yeah, they do. Yeah. They're a great band to cover. Blink 182 might, actually. I'm not sure, but they're a great band to cover. I want to karaoke Hybrid Moments now. I love that song. It's possible both, or maybe she's just right. Ted Evans says, hell of a run in World Championship Wrestling in 99. Surprised Jerry only never went on to headline WrestleMania. Oh, I didn't know that he did that.
I don't know that either. He's a big guy. Those guys are...
They are so ripped.
Yeah.
They're just like buff. It's
weird. Yeah, it's really weird.
Tommy, they used to be... go ahead.
They were like high school... Glenn Danzig was like... They just... Him and his buddy, the original drummer, knew that Jerry only, they saw him with a bass guitar in the back seat of his car. And they're like, you play bass? And he was like, yeah. But he's like, happened to be like a football player for the high school. He's like a jock. So
wild.
Yeah.
Tommy, do we get any on Twitter here?
Yeah, we got some Twitter. Brian Breslau said their logo does wonders for denim jackets. And then he said they're pioneers of playing three power chords and making fierce punk melodies. Well, maybe the Ramones too. Whatever. I'm not going to erase that text. Admiral Snackbar said if you can play a power chord on guitar, you can play every Misfits song. And that is great. Max Bettman said this old man plays a Misfits cover every jam night. and a box of Altoids. That original lineup is good. Everything after Danzig left is pretty trash.
Yeah.
Damn. This
old. I agree with that.
Mm.
Damn, I was trying to remember this old man he played one. And I couldn't pull it. So there you go. Just know it was a possible riff that could have been great. Let's see here. On the Facebook, Jeremy Levenbach says Saturday Night is a surprisingly good later era Misfits track. Gwen Sunkel says Alcoholic Uncles love them. I saw the just got some good information, but we'll talk about that after the show. David Rader says, I saw the Misfits back when Jerry Only was on vocals and he dedicated Last Caress to his son. And that is the song we were just talking about. That he goes on to say he changed the lyric from I raped your mother today to I kissed your mother today.
That's nice. I like that better. This is
a great fix.
And, yeah.
boy, would have loved to be in the room for pitches on that one, because I think I might have thrown that one out there day one. But he says, but we didn't know he was going to do that when he dedicated the song. That's really funny. Darren Patterson says, I ain't no goddamn son of a bitch. Have to assume that's a reference to a song.
It's Where He Goes There chorus. Yep.
John Rosenberger says, one of my favorite things about them was they scheduled this huge sold out stadium tour a couple of years ago, and their opening acts were mostly like relatively local punk and hardcore bands that had mostly played little indie venues, and it gave them a lot of exposure. The NYC, and then Kevin Bannon says the NYC show was pretty great. Rancid and the Damned played, not exactly local acts, but pretty awesome nonetheless. But that is cool. I love that they did that.
I probably just didn't want to pay.
Yeah, knowing now that we know what a cheap ass Danzig is.
Yeah.
Michael John Torres says Michael Graves rules and Jerry Only had that weird copyright lawsuit with the logo, I believe. He put that thing on everything. Nothing more punk rock than a Misfits shower curtain.
Yep. Yeah. But it's just so funny how like you have all these ideals and then you become 55 and you're like, I don't want to be in a weird home.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell this shit. And same thing happened with Glenn Danzig. Was like, I'm not gonna be part of the band. I do my own thing. And then the Misfits got so big that he's like, all right, I'll come back. I make some money. Like,
well, he came apparently. So one of the documentaries I watched was like, they haven't played together as a band since blah blah blah, and it was made in 2013. And then in 2016 they got back together. And of course it was a cash grab, but part of it was a lawsuit that required him to play 10 shows as part of the settlement. And they did the 10th already. So I don't know if they're going to keep going or not post COVID, but it was like, it made it seem like, oh yeah, we're friends again. But from what I read, it was also legally like he had to.
Right.
Right.
Makes sense.
It does seem like he just is an asshole about
it. Yeah. He's not cool. I'm not here to say that he's a cool guy.
No, we're gonna edit it to say we're gonna edit it to. I'm gonna edit that not out of what you just said. He's cool.
I'm here to say he's a cool guy.
Yeah, you're gonna use that technology they use for the YouTube. That guy used for the YouTube
Graham
video
just
the
whole time. He is cool.
I am Graham, and I think Glenn Danzig is cooler now than ever. Yeah.
Let's see.
Women should have sex with him.
We'll just read a couple more because we are out of time here. But Hattie Hayes says, my little brother doesn't know that I follow him on Spotify, and I will regularly see his listening now go from the Misfits to ABBA to Meatloaf back to the Misfits. I don't know. It just makes me feel proud.
Who is she following?
Her brother.
Her brother.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love that. I thought it was me. I was like, that's fine.
There's so many. It's hard to you know, cut these. That's what you guys.
I think it's like, it's one of those bands that's like, if you like it, you like it a lot. So it's gonna promote some sort of zealotry to the people listening. But then I this might be the lowest listened episode you've had, but you'll have the most comments.
We'll see. I doubt that. But Shannon Norman says, I got a Misfits tattoo 3 days after I turned 18. The day I turned 18, I got the Black Flag bars, and for some reason, I got a second Misfits tattoo a few months later. They meant a lot at the time, obviously, but now they are more of a, oh yeah, I do like them kind of band. I met Michael Graves when I was working on a local TV show and filmed a segment with him where the host had me show him my Misfits tattoo and pretend to be excited about meeting him. This was shortly after he founded Punks for Bush, and I really had to put the cheap seats to feign excitement. Afterwards, he gave me his acoustic solo album. I got drunk and threw it out of my friend's car on the highway during the drive home that night. All in all, I give the Misfits a 6 out of 10.
I agree with that. Everything she did.
All right, we'll read one more, and I hate to do this because so many of these came up during the pod, so I apologize if you had a great one and I missed it, and there you go. But the last one I'll read here is from James Isaiah Munoz. Says, the songs were easy enough to learn on guitar. Have you ever heard their live recordings? They sounded so fast and so sloppy at times. Anyone who heard it who wanted to play punk rock had their I can do this moment. I don't think I've ever been in a band where we didn't have at least one Misfits cover that we almost never played live, but only learned because they were so fun and simple. Also, my buddy made these bumper stickers for all the Michael Graves fans out there. And it's a bumper sticker that says honk if you hate Michael Graves. I hope I'm saying his name right. But, you know, it sounds like he sucks. So there you go. Oh, Andy Sanford says, love him. Hung out with Jerry only and Michael Graves at Dragon Con. Couldn't tell Graves I hate his vocals. all right. That is going to do it for this part of the podcast. And we have one last thing and we got to get out of here. So we'll do a quick Graham. You get to give your final thoughts on this band before we rate this playlist.
I think this is an excellent band if you are a teenager and you have some angst and you want to maybe start a band because it's easy. And I also think that it's an example of how punk rock can have a melody. Mm-hmm. And it's not metal. It's punk and it's supposed to be fun. I think I don't know. It's good. It makes me want to run through a wall in a good way. And I like that.
That's a great way to put it. I like that a lot. Tommy, I'm gonna let you take the lead on this one. What do you think about this Misfits playlist?
I had a very, very brief Misfits phase when I was playing drums in a punk band in high school, and we did cover Where Eagles Dare, so it was like the very stereotypical thing. And I do really like Glenn Danzig's voice, so I definitely enjoyed listening to it. I put in like the 4 out of 6 range for me. It's not something I don't listen to too much punk at all anymore. But I do think that they were really good at what they did, and in that 77 to 83 period, they put out some pretty amazing songs. So I like them. It's a 4 out of 6.
We're right on the same page here, Tommy, but I never listened to the Misfits before. They were just a t-shirt to me and a cool t-shirt, but I never did. It didn't work on me where I decided to look into it. I thought perhaps they might be too scary for me, and it turns out that I was wrong. The music is way more pleasant than I expected it to be, but it is a band that I probably would not seek out now in my 30s, you know?
Absolutely. I feel the same way about myself.
I will say this, but it was good though. I mean, it's not something that was like abysmal to listen to. And I'm going to go a little higher in honor of the holiday. I'm going to go 420, baby.
Oh, hell yeah. 420 out of 6. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
The best rating anyone's ever gotten on the show.
God.
Graham, you also get to rate this playlist out of 6. What do you think?
I think I'm not going to give it a 6, but I'll give it a 5. I think I did a great job constructing a playlist. There was another song I could have put on there that's a little different. It's a time capsule of my youth, which is why I like it.
I love it.
It shaped me as well as Guns N' Roses.
I think you did a great job here today, Graham, and we love you. And we're so grateful to have you on. Is there anything you'd like to promote on the way out? You have your new podcast. That's great. The Edgelords. Is that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. It's a it's a fake edgy podcast. It's two nice enough comedians trying to figure out how to be edgy. It's called The Edgelords. It's with Robbie Slowick. I'm proud of it. I think it's funny. We have a lot of great guests. We got to have both you guys on, please, sometimes. I have a special on YouTube that I'm very proud of. It was I'm from Canada. It was only available in Canada on a streaming service up there, and it just got released on YouTube, so America
can listen to it.
And it's called Graham K, and the title is Stupid Joke. So if you look for there on YouTube, you'll find it. Thanks very much.
Yes, Graham is the best.
So good. Oh, check that out. And, get on our Patreon, $3 a month, and I will be hitting the road now that I'm fully vaxxed and all that good shit. I'm going to be this weekend, if you're listening the week this comes out, I will be at Mohegan Sun Comics Roadhouse. That's the comedy club in Connecticut at Mohegan Sun. And that is this Thursday through Saturday. It's April 22nd to 24th, to be exact. And I'll be headlining the DC Improv May 20th nice. Through the 22nd, which is a dream. I'm very excited. So I would love to see you guys come out. And then there's more stuff coming. But get on that Patreon. And then Tommy, what do you got?
Yeah, come to see me and Luke Modis' show 5:15 at the Bell House. Grandma, it's great to have you.
Thanks so much. Can I quickly say that I actually am going to be in Houston, Texas on the 30th of April. And I'm also going to be in Indianapolis at Helium on the 22nd to the 25th. Thanks very much. Yeah.
You can't say that, but
that's fair. Cut that out.
All right. Thanks for listening. And thanks so much, Graham. Keep it crispy, everybody. Bye.